This is The Coaching Inn, a podcast from 3D Coaching. Welcome to The Coaching Inn. I'm Claire Pedrick, and today I'm in the good company of Mary Devine. Mary's just written a cracking book called, I'm just looking at the chapter title, it's called Leadership Transition Coaching, that's just come out. So it's great to have you with us today, Mary.
Thank you, Claire.
Tell us a little bit about you.
Okay, I'm based here in Ireland. I'm in County Tipperary, and I've probably lived most of my life here, along with heading to cities for work and all the rest. So my background, I suppose, in terms of the book, if I just bring it into that context, is I've worked predominantly in the utilities industries for, and I've probably spent the best part of my working life, 40 years. And that's worked across the various utilities, the electricity, water, gas, in latter times. So I set up my own business about 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I continued. Funny enough, I thought I was retiring as such at that stage in my head. But things moved on in life and other transitions came into my life. And I set up a business thinking it was short term, but it went a bit longer. And from there, life took off, yeah, in terms of more work again. And some work similar to what I was at, but more in leadership roles, probably moving from specialist to leadership roles. And that was interesting. So when I look back now, a lot of my work has been very much around projects and change management, embedding change in organizations and different contexts.
Yeah, yeah. And what was the appeal of writing the book?
The appeal of writing the book, I think, was it two themes really come out for me and have always stayed with me. And it's very much around leadership and what is leadership and the impact that leaders have on the organizations they work for and serve, and the people, the teams they work with, and society in general. So they have quite a span of influence. And I think also be mindful of, you know, the world has changed so much in the last decades. Every year, a decade, it changes so much, but the pace now has moved at such a pace. But even back, I could go back 20 years now, and even then, leadership transition, the pace was different, but the context was unique at that point in time. And leaders, as they transitioned from being specialist high contributors into leadership, that was a step change. I could see it.
Yeah.
So it's more about what we do to how we are and how we are as in that role of leading others. So, and then coaching later on came into that piece as well. So I can talk further on that.
I'd like to hear about that in a minute. But I'm just absolutely captivated by your statistic in chapter two, that the potential derailment is estimated at 50% for leaders within the first 18 months. That's extraordinary, isn't it?
It absolutely is. Yeah, it is. And that's those studies have been there for over 30 years or so, you know, the capturing information and up to 50%, you know, and that can be very much based on what are the parameters that influence that. It can be anything from politics to culture, you know, to the more complexity that you have as well, let's say, working in ambiguous situations as you go into new territory.
Yeah.
So what got me here will not get you there, as Goldsmith says, you know.
Yeah.
So it is, it's very different. Yeah. And that derailment is a cost to the individual, number one, and it's a cost to the organizations that they serve, because it can take such a lengthy period of time. It's flux. It causes flux within an organization as well. And it's not always that the person is asked to leave the organization. It can often be that the person decides themselves to leave the organization because they're the fit. It's because of the expectations and the fit may not be what they expected. Yeah. So it's important to consider these transitions. And also, transitions are not change events. They're not events as such. It's not as if you just pick up the role, you walk into the new building or organization, or you just log on to a new team. There's a transition to be made. And it's about thinking about considering that for the individual.
Yeah, and it's funny, isn't it? Because so often organisations are more willing to invest when something looks wobbly than they are to invest at the beginning. But when I read that chapter, I thought, well, my goodness, of course, that's why organisations should be bringing in coaches as people move into a new role.
They're one developmental option. The organizations will invest a lot in actually attracting talent, and their brand is very conscious of brand and attracting people in, and they go through all that process time-wise, cost-wise, to bring good people in and the talent acquisition. And then there's that bridge when they do bring them in, they onboard them. So the onboarding piece, what's that look like? And then, you know, the developing them then and bringing them forward. And then you have all the performance indicators that leaders are, you know, plenty of data analytics there, plenty of reports in front of them and information and data, and ultimately the decisions that they will make as part of that organizational setting as well. So it really is important. And then, so the coaching piece really is one solution, but I think it's tailored. It can be tailored to the time and the uniqueness of the situation, which is really important. So it's not one size fits all.
Oh, absolutely. But yes, yeah, such an interesting thing. And you talked about uncertainty and complexity and how much more that's true now than even it was when you must have started writing.
Absolutely. And in the research, so I interviewed 8 leaders back in 2017. And even to get access to those leaders, that's, you know, I was in the University College Cork at the time in Ireland. And so that was research and a supervision for that as well. So that was my bridge from being a practitioner into the world of academia. So it was new territory for me. And I didn't know what I didn't know at that stage, but I was curious. I was always been curious and open to learning. So learning has been a part of my DNA over the years. And I'm quite curious. So that was good. But I had a lot of learning to do in that transition as well, you know. So with all of that came, let's say, the research and the interviews with the individuals. So context around ethics and meeting all the requirements of the research was there as well. But equally well, I jumped forward then and into 2020. I actually interviewed further, you know, more leaders and people who are making further transitions at the time of the pandemic. And that further added to the book. And the content of the book. So yeah. It does give that context, but I want to I suppose maybe emphasize a point here. And it is more about, it's not so much what is the crisis that's happening, what is, you know, specifically happening in the environment. It can often be about how we are and how we deal with it.
Yeah.
And the themes that came through, funny enough, are themes that resonate, they're timeless in terms of how we might look at them.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm really struck by what you said a few minutes ago about the shift from doing to being, and that being so fundamental as people step up into those roles.
Yeah, absolutely. It really is, because the doing piece is a given that the person has the skills, the wherewithal, and the competencies or whatever they might be to come into the role, and that they can learn. They're quick learners. They're probably, you know, they've been high contributors, high performers before they've arrived. But it is how they will hold themselves in uncomfortable places, in the unknown and the ambiguous situations, how they are themselves, because how they feel safe with themselves is how then others can feel safe with them. And that psychological safety is really important in relationships and organizations. And I think that's where the coaching comes in, because the coach is often the trusted agent or person in the room with the leader, if they're coaching them and stuff like that, because where else can you walk into a room and have that openness and feel safe to express maybe even emotion about something as much as while you think about something.
Yeah.
So that's the emotional intelligence as well, allowing that to come through. That's the awareness, the self-awareness is so important.
Yeah. So I'm really interested, Mary.
Yeah.
When you were in business, did you have a coach?
I did. And yes. And that might be surprising to some, because I often find, you know, I'm in coaching forums and I expressed that and people say, oh gosh, never thought about that. But I did. And I've had a coach, it kind of happened accidentally as such, but when I engaged with that coach, it was very much about my own learning and development. CPD, I decided, was part of it. But along that journey over a number of years, I've been meet the coach maybe twice a year. And actually I'd like to call out my coach at this stage, and that would be Billy Byrne. And Billy, he was a comrade of mine in a previous work life, but we had never really worked together.
Yeah.
But I got the offer of some pro bono coaching on something, a particular initiative I'd been working on. And Billy came into that picture. And then from there on, I might have met him infrequently over the years. But what the question he asked me at some point when he'd heard I'd carried out the research or I'd undertaken it was, would you think of consider presenting at a conference, a coaching conference? And I thought, oh gosh, not too sure about that. But I did. I actually thought about it, reflected on it, as we do as coaches, reflected on it, and I decided to do that. So I got invited then to attend the research conference in the for the EMCC in the UK. And out of that came the opportunity to write the books. Laura Pacey from the Open University Press, McGraw-Hill, approached me. And from there, that journey took off.
Yeah, that's how she approached me. It's a conference. Yeah.
And I must say her approach, and I have to say at this point in time, all of the interactions I've had with the Open University Press and McGraw-Hill have been absolutely excellent.
Yeah.
You know, they're support you all the way, very encouraging. And I want to give a shout out to Laura Pacey and Tara Heathcock. I hope that the name's correct here now.
You have.
There were a number of people there, and I had Zoe Osman as well. Yeah. Ali Davis and Ting Baker, because they really were super as a team to support me as an author, because I was working remotely.
Yeah.
And very much to COVID. I'm not as part of an organization. I'm a freelance coach now at the moment. So top class to them. Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. It's all about teamwork, isn't it?
And collaborating. Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's reaching out and working with others. Mm. And I have to say as well, Inga, my supervisor in the research, who is my co-author here, has been overseeing the work I've been doing as in the writing as well. So all of those people and my coach, you know, the coach, as I say, Billy as well, previously, have made a big difference to where I am today.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So thank them all.
Yeah. And I think there's something, isn't there, about being honest with the people we coach, that actually we also have thinking space.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm also an advocate, a very strong advocate of supervision.
Yeah.
Supervision is very important as well, that we get that reflective space. I find when I go into supervision that I'm actually, it's like coffee percolating. I'm actually, once I know the date set, I start thinking about the session and how I'm going to, what I'm going to bring to the session and how I'm thinking about it. So sometimes in coaching for myself, you try and coach yourself, of course, too, sometimes. It's how we think about things is often the difference that makes a difference. It's not it's how we think.
And that's such a great example, isn't it? That the coaching isn't only what happens in the room, because you've just described that it happens as soon as you can see it in the diary, it starts the process.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. And we start to hold ourselves accountable to ourselves as much as the session will hold us accountable, because we'll go in there as well. And that's part of maybe the psychology of coaching, or the psychology, you know, if we take up any exercise and we are going to commit to working with somebody else, we hold ourselves accountable and they hold, you know, they hold us accountable too.
Yeah, and we also speak things that we may never have said before, don't we?
Yeah. Sometimes we don't actually know what we're going to say until we talk it through. And from that often comes another thought, and it comes together in alignment. And then we might have an insight, or we have another way of looking at something.
Mm.
So it's in the process that the pearls come out, I think, of the thoughts that we have and see where we go from there.
Yeah. Yeah. Which requires great courage from both of us, doesn't it?
It does, absolutely, yeah. So that's back to the relationship in the coaching scenario. And that, you know, as much as all the rest, and I know I've read your book, Claire, Simplifying Coaching. And at the end of the day, it is about the relationship. It is about the trust and that openness. Because you can have, you know, tools and techniques and all the other pieces that one might use in the scenario if they want to use them. They may not be needed at all. But the bottom line, it is about that relationship and the openness, and it's partnership. You're kind of sitting together, thinking through, you're thinking partners, and then you take it from there.
Tell us a bit, Mary, about the framework and those themes that you've recognised from your research need, you know, are useful to explore.
Yeah, well, the themes, there's four main themes in it. So the first theme is time to think. Collaborate, and then the second theme is clarity and focus, the third theme is collaborate with others, and the fourth is development. Now I had a lot of data, a huge amount of data, and so I actually took it, and I had 72 Excel sheets at one point, and I took that data literally.
My goodness, that's a lot.
It was huge. I actually started out, I had 15 questions that I posed, and they're actually in the book as well. So I had to take that data and make sense of all of that. So I literally would have, you know, captured all that data. And then from there, I know I had 72 Excel sheets. I put it on Excel and I started my coding from there. I didn't start saying I need to match this to theories. I literally wanted to get my own findings, my own research, and find out what was in there. So the supervision was essential in all of that. And I mean, that's where I come back to Inga again. It's, you know, that's so important that you have that sounding board and that she has eyes, because she's used to carrying through research and stuff like that. So it was qualitative research as well. and it's based on semi-structured interviews. But back to the themes have subordinate themes as well. And what can I say about them? I think that when someone wants to look at the, you know, get the book, whatever, you can look into the themes and stuff like that. But I think that there's nothing necessarily new in it, right? But what is there is under the time to think or any of those, let's say, you can look at the various components of what that is about. And I think it'll resonate. I'm hoping that some of the language and some of the phraseology, the voices of the leaders really is where this all, the piece comes in, because that's where it can resonate with another leader. And that's where the coaches, it makes more sense, I think, when people look into it at that level. So the subordinate, the main themes, the four main themes, the subordinate themes, and the voices of the leaders who support those themes are really where the stretch is in the book, and it's evidence-based. So I think that's the kernel of it, as much as I have other chapters in there as well, which gives context, but the voice of the leaders is what it's about.
The voice of the leaders is what it's about. Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And it's also them who can say whether coaching is effective or not.
Yes. And the other thing is, it's often, you know, with theory and stuff like that, you can hear a phrase or, you know, a sentence or a phrase, and that's the theory. But the language that the leaders use and how they say it. So what they say is one thing, but how they say it, I think, is where it comes, the light comes into it. Right. So that's the feedback I've got so far. So I should thank some of the reviewers as well who have reviewed the book so far. It's got quite positive feedback so far. So it's taking that link between theory and practice.
Yeah.
And bringing it into its own, you know. And then I think there's enough in it, actually, even for somebody to read it, dip in, dip out of the book, and they'll get enough of a sense of what a transition is and what they might need to be thinking about. On top of that, the icing of the cake for me then was, how was I going to make this more valuable for the people who might read it? So what I did is, coming towards the end of the book, was I posed some questions at the under each of the subordinate themes, purely just to help people in their thinking again, or to assist, or to use in whatever way they wish. They're not prescribed. I want to emphasize that. They're not prescribed as these are the questions to ask when you're in a transition, not by any stretch, but they are something to think about, you know?
Yeah. Some buckets to think in.
Yeah. And I'm working with somebody at the moment, actually, who's on the first 100 days of their transition. And they have seen it, and they have more or less said, it gets me to step back and look at it, instead of being stuck into the operational piece, right? And that's number one. And number two is, they said, I now realize I need to do it. I really need to create a stakeholder map and look at that, because I've more than I thought, maybe. So they're just pieces. Everybody's going to see something different in it.
Yeah. So that one's encouraging a little bit of distance.
Yeah.
To look from a different place.
Yeah, because when you're in the middle of a new role, you're taking in a lot of new information, you know, even your stakeholders, internal, external. It depends on where you are, how big the organization is as well. You can have, you know, so to consider those things. And it's about being smart, and it's about being resilient, you know, keeping your resilience as well. Because, you know, I even think of resilience and well-being, and I'm thinking it's about being well. And sometimes coaching is about being the best that you can be in that situation. You can't do everything, but you can do the best. It's about being, it's working smart, and it's conserving the energy as much as you can. And it's that bit of thinking time. And I suppose if I jump back a little bit, that's where the psychology, of sports psychology, triggered my head first. It's around performance. It's back to performance. And it's, so it's back to clarity and focus, and about keeping yourself in a good, steady state to need to move forward. And if we bring that into today's world, where there's so much going on 24/7, so how can we stay in shape to meet the what we're moving, whatever is in front of us that we need to deal with or work with?
And that's good. Back to the being again. It just keeps coming round, doesn't it?
It does, I suppose. Yeah, because it's in a, it's in a moment in time that you end up in a context, whatever that might be, in you know, your personal life, your work life, or wherever. I know I'm talking about leadership transitions, but we've transitions in other parts of our lives too. But if I stick with the leadership transitions, it is in an organizational setting. But it is. It's about the being, and staying on target as much as possible. And can't say much more than that.
Being. And yeah, I just think it's a great filter for people just to notice and kind of do a hover around their world about these different areas. It's a really excellent kind of shape to hold people's thinking, I think.
Yeah, and that's it. And holding the space sometimes, like even in the world of coaching, you can come into a room and you can hold space. And that's something for coaches to learn maybe as well, that when nothing is said, sometimes they're the magic moments because something is happening.
Yeah.
And then it comes through. But it's allowing the person to catch their breath, to catch their thinking, to hold themselves, nearly to hold themselves metaphorically. Mm. And then to come through with the next piece, because we've 70,000 thoughts to say, I don't know, in a day, let's say. And that's a lot of thoughts. It's a lot of movement. So, but it's the quality of those thoughts, you know? And when we get tired or when your body, you know, you have to, it's the embodiment of how we embody the change that we're experiencing as well. And tapping into that. So the more conscious we are, I suppose, of how we're thinking about things, how we're feeling about things, how the body is, that's well-being to me. It's the full piece. It's not just part of us, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Wholeness.
As much as we can get it, yeah.
As in not taking our head off and letting it act independently.
Well, yeah, this is being aware of it, because sometimes, you know, it's about grounding ourselves too.
Yeah.
You know, you can be in the head, because I've been there in the past, I can tell you as well. I've no qualms about saying it.
Yeah.
You know, you're in the head and that's moving at a pace and your body is feeling stretched or tired or whatever it might be. But it is being conscious, I suppose. Look at that. It's the full bodied experience here. And it's for others as well. So well-being isn't just about one part of us. It's about all of us and how we are. And I think as well, like, it's being mindful as well, because resilience is something, then we talk about resilience and well-being, but you can be very resilient, and that can be, you can overplay that. And if I'm very, very, very resilient, let's say, and I'm working with people who have a different resilience level, I don't want to burn them out. Mm. Right. So, I mean, it's being mindful of that. So what can be our strengths, we, you know, can be our default as well, going in another direction. So just watch it.
Yeah. So who are you hoping is going to read your book, Mary?
Who I'm hoping is going to read the book? Well, first of all, coaches might consider this part of their own development. Mm-hmm. And coaches and maybe practitioners, trainers. Leaders, I'd hope as well. Leaders, new leaders, people new to leading, well-seasoned leaders as well, because I have case studies there, let's say, as well around people moving to board level and director levels and different levels. Probably people in the organizational development side of things. But I think it's open to anybody. People can gift it to somebody, colleague, might be moving a role or whoever. But I think I'm hoping that word of mouth, you know, referrals and the reviews maybe, and whoever might see it, it's, you know, it can transcend itself across the globe, I think, because it's not specific to any generation. You know, there's 5 generations roughly in the workplace at the moment, 5, 6, maybe even at this stage. It's not specific to anyone, but it does have something in it, I think, for everybody. You know, it's got something and some nuggets in there. And the thing I'd say about transitions as well, you know, one thing I'd like to say about transitions has 3 components. Mitchell would say, let's say, that is 3 components. It has the start, the front piece, where you're leaving something. You're leaving something behind, you're moving forward. And so you're leaving what you're used to, maybe your people you knew, the way of being, the habits you had, what the place was like, the culture. You then move into a new space, which is an unknown for a while. That's uncomfortable. Most people want to run out of there and get out of there as fast as possible. It is not a nice, pleasant, easy space sometimes. But that's where the curiosity can be as well, and the creativity and the exploring. And that's often where the coach works, actually, with a person, as they're working through the change. And then there's the arriving into the new, you know, the space is settling in, it's starting to feel a little bit kind of more normal now here, now again. You're feeling more, the comfort levels is increasing here. And you've got the clarity and your division and you're moving forward. And so it's different. So it's that's what I want to say about transitions. It is something that has components to it.
It's interesting because William Bridges has a similar model. That endings, and then he calls the middle bit the neutral zone and the new beginnings.
Yeah.
I call the middle bit the wilderness. And probably 20 years ago, I walked across the wilderness on a charity trek. And it was so interesting experiencing for myself what that absolutely felt like, which was so exciting and absolutely death-defyingly scary.
Yeah.
And one minute it was amazing and the next minute it wasn't. One day it was absolutely dry as dust. And there was a storm that lasted about 3 seconds. And during that storm, bushes started emerging. But because we had our eyes closed, because there was a sandstorm as well as the rain, we didn't see them growing. But suddenly you open your eyes and there's all this green everywhere. So that extraordinary in between where it's so very uncertain and yet there's excitement and terror and all of those things.
That's it, yeah. And it's like a paradox in itself because it has all those elements in there. So again, it's back to how you kind of can maneuver through all of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I can, and even as you speak about it, Claire, I can, you know, I think for me, because I've been, change has been a part of my life very much so in different ways. And I get quite excited about change. I like the unknown and I kind of curious about it and interested to find out what this could be. So it's that piece. And maybe that's what's partly brought me to this book. Some people would run for the hills probably.
Say, yes.
Where are we going here, you know? Yeah. But no, it's and like you described, it is all the mix.
Yeah.
The whole mix of pieces that can be happening.
Yeah, and some people are aware that's coming up and see that as normal, don't they? And other people are a bit sideswiped by it.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's mentioned in the book, I suppose, too. I kind of do talk about our mindset, beliefs, mindset, and how we approach things, because we have stories, you know, our belief systems especially are very, very strong. I mean, beliefs can take us to many places, but it is about how we understand our own stories and our schemas, and then how we make meaning in the world and how we make meaning out of the new territory then as we move forward. So I've touched on that as well in the book, which might be helpful to people as they're working through transitions, because it gets you to consider, probably because I did the program, I suppose, study program in the Faculty of Psychology in the University of Cork. There was that dimension of thinking about it from the point of view of what's the behavioral impact here, and all of that. And part of the program I would have undertaken down there as well, it was coaching psychology and positive psychology. And I have to say that I am very much aligned with the thinking around the positive psychology. And Martin Seligman has been, I suppose, the father of positive psychology. When I arrived into that territory as well, it was ringing a lot of bells for me. Even as I reflect back on the leaders I would have worked with, and the people who influenced me over the years and who are natural mentors without ever being called a mentor.
Yeah.
And who had ways of being in the world without ever trying to describe it. So I often ask people, like, you know, you think when you are in the leadership roles or moving into other roles, is to think about the people who we would have looked to and what was the difference that made the difference. And I could be going off track now again here a little bit.
No, I think that's really interesting, because there's something, isn't it, about people's capacity or willingness to give away.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's part of being a leader, isn't it?
Absolutely. And in today's world, more than ever, leaders are coming into leadership at a much earlier stage, I would say.
Yeah.
For very few years under their belt as such in an organizational setting, which is wonderful because there's wonderful opportunities there. But it is to be mindful, I think, of the territory that they're in, because as they're contributors and they want to carve out their careers, there are other people who have been there for quite some time or at the same peer level as themselves. And it's been mindful of how we lead others, and are we serving the organization, and are we bringing people with us? Are we self-serving?
Yeah.
And if we're self-serving, I don't know how long that will last, but people will see the woods and the trees in that one. And and you can bruise people along the way. No, there's a dark side of leadership as well. It's very much alive and well. And there's environments out there that may not be conducive to well-being and to a lot of other things. So I would call that out to say that, that's back to the maturity of the organization and the individuals who lead those organizations. And again, it's another aspect of leadership.
Yeah, so much to wonder about.
Yeah, but I think it's back to being the best version of oneself. And I think if you have, you know, it's about preparing for the shift into leadership, or as you move up into the leadership roles. And even when you meet the most senior levels in the organization, still be mindful of, look, it's a different context here. You're with different people. It's at a different time in the world. And do consider it. Maybe it's worth considering where we are now.
Yeah, brilliant. So as we begin to wrap up, are there any final words that you want to say to our listeners, Mary?
I think really the final word is that leaders have so much influence on the lives of others in organisations and the wider society, and they will be influenced by so much around them. I think the coach's preparation for their work with leaders is a significant task too.
Yeah.
And the book hopefully has signaled some of the steps that the leaders will take as they navigate their journey of leadership transition. While it's also a roadmap, I suppose, for coaches in their work.
Yeah, fantastic. So if people want to talk to you more about this or hear more from you, how do they contact you, Mary?
At the direct route, I suppose, is through my, well, LinkedIn. I'm at Mary Villette Devine on the LinkedIn. And my website is marydconsultancy.com.
And I'll pop that on the programme notes so that people can find you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much, Mary. What a delight to spend some time listening and talking with each other.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've enjoyed your story. And I say, I'm reading your book at the moment, Simplifying Coaching, which is another dimension on things. But no, it is, because at the end of the day, it's an evolving, the industry, the coaching profession, I suppose, is evolving still. Yeah. And will continue. And one of the things I'd like to see even going further is that bridge between maybe, you know, the practitioner and the coach, the academia and stuff like that, because it is about progressing and that whole piece. And more than ever, leaders are becoming coaches themselves in the world too. Yeah. They're taking on that style of leadership, which is wonderful. So long may it last and move
fabulous
forward.
Fabulous. Thank you. So I'm Claire Pedrick, and I've been in conversation with Mary Villette Devine about her book, Leadership Transition Coaching, that's now available on all good book platforms, published by Open University Press. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Claire.
If you've enjoyed what you've heard today, please share the podcast with a friend who might also be interested. And if you'd like to become one of our regulars at The Coaching Inn, you can subscribe at Podbean or on iTunes. We look forward to meeting you on the next podcast.
You've been listening to The Coaching Inn. Find out more about us at www.3dcoaching.com.